Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we're taking to the streets with the new surefire antidote to road rage. We'll see if it works. And we've got news of the man found drunk in charge of a wheelchair. We'll be finding out about the Scud's latest mystery project, and we'll be indulging in several Ron Casey-style outbursts live on air. The commissioners, they'll be tackling their final case. Yes, I'm afraid so. We'll play Radio Gladiators, invite you to join our freak circus, and meet the man who's already got his own master showman, Jim Rose. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that, unlike Kerry Ann's midday show, doesn't have to resort to bad language to entertain Martin Malloy. That's the way a woman feels. Good afternoon, Australia. Good afternoon, London. And welcome to Martin Malloy for a Friday. It's the last one for the week with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's been reinstated to the show despite his past work as a prostitute, lap dancer and amateur Chippendale, Mick Malloy.
Oh, I've got many feathers in the cap too, Martin. Don't worry about that.
Now, it's Friday, and normally, of course, about this time we have the extremely glamorous Fumio ceremony.
Yep.
But as we've only done one proper show this week.
It can't be done.
I don't know if we can get, you know, four nominees out of what were we talking about yesterday.
Oh, let's not go back. Don't go back.
Michael Jackson again?
Oh.
I don't think so.
Nay.
So instead, let's talk about other matters. I don't know if you've heard Senator Mel Colston. Did you hear what he did?
What?
He applied for a pay rise. Did you hear that? He applied for a pay rise.
Hang on, I'm still taking it in.
He wanted a pay rise. Oh, dear. You should have heard Ernie Sigley's reaction when I told him what Mel had done. I mean...
Probably.
Oh, a pay rise. For Mel Colston. Oh, gee, that's enough, Ernie. Oh, yeah. Oh, dear. I think that's probably the best joke I've heard in the entire time we've been doing this program.
Indeed.
I sent away, Mick, I don't know if you know, for the Mel Colston tummy trimmer. Because everyone's flogging one of them abdominizer tummy toner things, aren't they? I got Mel's delivered. It looks like the roll bar from a monster truck. It took four blokes just to get the abdomen in shape.
Okay.
Okay, now listen, I want to talk about road rage briefly if I can. Because as we know, it's out of control at the moment. Don't worry. Road rage will soon be a thing of the past thanks to an innovative series of hand gestures introduced in New South Wales last week by the government's Stay Safe Committee. They've been endorsed by Victoria's RACV and other states are now set to follow. The three simple hand signals allow the motorist to say thanks or I'm sorry, says RACV manager Peter Doop, who's living up to his surname if he thinks they're going to work at all. Now, a selection of hand gestures, he says, will probably prevent a reaction from a driver. Really, I find it's usually a selection of hand gestures that provoke the road rage myself.
Yep.
I mean, if you cut someone off on the freeway, turning around and giving them a routine akin to the village people's YMCA is probably going to deep you in deeper, I reckon. Have you seen the three gestures, Mick?
No.
Now, let's just go through them. Number one is placing your hand against the windscreen. That doesn't say, I'm sorry, to me. That says, gotcha, bloody mosquitoes. You know, where's that going to work?
I don't know.
Might as well just see if you know, that thing, rub your tummy and pat your head at the same time. I'm really sorry. Oh, hang on. Yeah, I'm really sorry. Look, I can do it. Jeez. Number two is tapping your head three times with your left hand. How does that work?
I don't know.
The other driver's meant to think, oh, he couldn't help it. He's retarded. Why not just go cross-eyed, start drooling and wet your pants? That'll send out the same message. Number three, a left arm salute. So when you piss someone off, they're at road rage flashpoint, just give them a casual salute. That's going to blast. It's just going to paste over all the trouble, is it? It's going to sort things out. So that's right. I'm at fault. Blow it out your ass. That's what you're saying with that salute, I think. Why not just add gesture four, drop your pants and give them a pressed fruit bowl? I'm sure that wouldn't be misinterpreted. Let's see the head of the RACV demonstrating that one. I actually went round to my Uncle Ron's last week, Mick. He was out in the garage, sitting in the car. He had a hose pipe connected from the exhaust running round to the driver's side window. He had the engine running, and he was just gesturing wildly and pressing his hands frantically against the windshield. I'm going, okay, Uncle Ron, you're sorry. It was 4 years ago. Let it be. Forget it. That's Deborah Conway. Only the beginning here at Martin Molloy. And, Mick, I know the commissions are coming up in the next hour, mm-hmm. but we've got such a backlog. Let's have ourselves an old-fashioned Martin Molloy Crime Watch. Found anything good?
Listen to this tone. A man who tried to run down police with his wheelchair while drunk and giving his nighty-clad wife a driving lesson has been fined for disorderly behaviour.
A wheelchair driving?
Yeah, and before you get cranked up, no, it was not Christopher Reeve.
Oh,
although it's just the kind of wacky yeah. stunt he'd try and
oh,
pull.
Oh, I know, wouldn't put it past him.
No, it was in fact Jeffrey Allen Dunford, 38, who pleaded guilty in Darwin's magistrate court to charges of disorderly behaviour, offensive language and resisting arrest.
Oh, yes.
Stemming from the incident on January the 12th, Dunford was stopped by police on a Darwin street on a Sunday night about 10:15 p.m. The court heard his de facto wife, Miss Mooney, dressed only in a nightie, was sitting on Dunford's lap operating the drive lever of his motorised wheelchair while he drank from a can of beer. The two were travelling into the path of oncoming traffic. Dunford became abusive after police took his beer and three other cans he was carrying and restrained Miss Mooney when she became quite upset.
So he became abusive. Obviously he didn't know the three gestures.
He could have put them into play. According to a police prosecutor, Dunford began waving his arms around. Maybe he did know the gestures.
Is that one of them? Waving frantically?
He started waving his arms around while trying to run police over with his wheelchair. Right there, that's your wheelchair rage, T. Martin. Going off. Dunford told police his name was Donald Duck and then refused to answer questions. The last time I heard of anyone attempting that, I think, was when the police attempted to pull over a pantsless Pope in the Popemobile.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Donald Duck, idiots! Just charged off. Oh, well, you're allowed to have fun when you're the Pope. Now, Tone, I'm sorry, but I've got to ask, what is going on in this country when you can't go ploughing head-on into oncoming traffic in your motorised wheelchair, plied to the eyeballs with alcohol, receiving a lap dance from the missus in nothing but her gym jams? Since when did that become a bookable offence? That's the kind of behaviour that should be rewarded. He should be driving in next year's Celebrity Grand Prix race against the traffic. Let's see him on a collision course with Richard Wilkins. Now that's entertainment.
Oh, it sure is.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
In fact, if we could get a little parachute arrangement going out the back of the wheelchair, I'd like to see him and the missus taking on the American jet cars this Saturday night at the Call to Thunderdome. I don't know where he got the beers, but I'm presuming he popped into the local drive-thru. Would have been queued up behind a couple of cars, revving the crap out of his chair, just going, come on, not here for a haircut!
In his nitro-burning funny chair.
Maybe he entered the drive-thru the wrong way, hence his encounter with oncoming traffic.
There you go.
I'm just trying to work it out, Tone. Who cares about a couple of beers anyway? What's the worst that could happen? What, he's going to get a little unsteady on the legs? Take a chill pill, officers, please. I think it's a great spectacle, and I think he's to be encouraged,
yes.
Tone. Someone should get him some monster track tyres and let him loose for a bit of car crushing. I know for a fact he wanted the cops to jack the ramp up at the courthouse so he and the missus could make their entrance by jumping six garbage cans. He's a thinker. That's what he is. He's thinking. He's an entertainer.
He sure is.
Did you hear how they got him in the divvy van?
How was that?
Well, both vehicles were in motion. The cops lowered a ramp out the back of the divvy van and then he just barked out the instructions to the missus who navigated the wheelchair up and in like they did with those mini miners in the Italian job. You remember that, don't you, Tone?
Yes.
Michael Caine.
That's right, yes.
Michael Caine, did you know? He was in there somewhere. Anyway, he was fined a total of $580. So he didn't do too bad, although I don't think his girlfriend is talking to him now.
Really?
Tone.
What's happened?
Well, in court, his defence was he'd never seen her before, and at the time of the offence, he was attempting to report a stolen vehicle.
That's the Cardigans, their love fools, here at Martin Molloy.
Tonight on Martin Molloy, Mark Philippoussis stars in the season premiere of Scarred Force. The most powerful serf in the world, the Scud roams the streets using his immense ball speed in the continuing fight against evil.
All right, lady, give me that bag.
Help
me! Somebody help me! I need that money to support my invalid parents. Is there no one here to help?
Oh, jeez!
I knew it! I knew the Scud would come to my rescue. For wherever there is darkness in this world, he turns up in his little white shorts and squeaky runners to right the wrongs, to dish out his own brand of unique justice, to swing the scales back in the favour of... Oh!
He may only have one eyebrow, but that's one more than his arch-nemesis, Boris Becker.
I'd like to pay for these groceries, please.
I'm sorry, sir. This is the 8 items or less line, and you have at least 10 items.
I do not care for your 8 items or less policy, so just bag up the groceries, Peaches, and I'll be on my way. You will learn not to mess with...
Oh! Boom, boom, Becker!
Even when he's out on the town relaxing, the Scud can unleash his unholy power on any who dares to cross his path.
Oh, thanks for coming along tonight. Have we got anyone in from out of town? What about you up the back of the little white shorts? You'd be a big poof, wouldn't you? Is that an eyebrow or are you wearing a headband? Hey, why don't you jump the net and give me a kiss, big boy?
It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a bad egg, you'll end up on the receiving end of a good hard serve from the Scud.
Hey, idiot, out of the way! Where'd you get your license, you clown? Jeez.
Hey, you know who that bloke looked like?
Nah.
Who? Mark Philippoussis.
Oh, you need your head read, Mark.
Who's there?
Philippoussis stars tonight in the season premiere of Scud Force with special guest stars, the Woodies.
All right, Scud, you've got us cornered, but you've only got one shot left.
What are you going to do now?
It's Crowded House. Now they're getting somewhere here at Martin Molloy with Tony Martin and Mick Molloy, or as Ron Casey calls us.
Bow-legged, slant-eyed, slow-petted, rotten little bastards.
I mean, we actually got Ron in today for an interview, but he wasn't happy.
I couldn't get a word in. All the cackling ethnics up the back were blah, 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 blah.
You know, but as remember, you just got to remember, it, as Ron himself points out...
I am not racist.
Ron Casey's not racist.
Hang on. I've gone again.
Did you hear about Mel Colston wanting a pay rise, Mickey? Oh, that's enough, I think. Yeah. Ooh, did you see that, Ron Casey? There was a big brouhaha.
Oh, we're done with that, aren't
we? It was on the midday show. There was a bit of a brouhaha. Mm. But it was all felt just a little bit set up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at it, I'm going, what's going on here? This all feels like the whole thing's been staged. And then you look down in the corner, and for the whole segment, there's a little midday show logo.
Yeah.
So why would they put that on there if they didn't know something was going to happen and that other news services were going to play it?
Absolutely. And I think when he did storm out, although it all kind of seemed spontaneously, it was preceded by Kerry Ann 4 times going, oh, so do you want to leave, do you? Oh, ready to go, are you?
You're walking out. And so if you look, you can see, like, you know, when you're learning to dance, there's footsteps on the floor. Ron exits here. But, you know, they're sitting there. There was Kerry Ann and there was Mark Day, seasoned journos, both of them. And Ron Casey's going, look, I'm not a bloody racist. I just think the Japanese POW guards are a bunch of slope-eyed, slant-eyed, bloody bow-legged, bloody chinko bastards.
Yep.
And, okay, so that's his opinion. Mm. Okay, so that's what he thinks about Japanese POW guards from World War II. Mm. A lot of people might agree with that, but nobody was saying, you with a mobile phone company from Finland. It's a mobile phone company from Finland that works in the 1990s. Ooh, what does that have to do with something that happened in Japan in the 40s?
Yeah, I mean,
he's an insane man. He's an insane man. And I don't, there's something wrong. When you look at Ron Casey, there's something, he's got that, you know, he looks like someone from When Animals Attack. You know, who survived a grizzly bear attack. There's just something a bit off-kilter about him.
Well, I thought you meant the offending party. It looked like he could have taken a chunk out of Kerry Ann's thigh. What was it? Did he have a mouth guard in? I think he was expecting fisticuffs.
What's that?
But at no point did nobody go, okay, you don't like Japanese POW guards. Mm. What has it got to do with a Finnish mobile phone company?
That was who he was accusing of all those horrible things.
There is only one answer. Insanity.
Mm.
And I think we can leave it at that.
Insanity's the real winner.
And what about then after that? I didn't see this, but everyone's come running in. Apparently they've got lovable old Larry Adler, the mouth organ player.
Mm.
He's always, you know, going on about young people not knowing how to tell a joke properly. Apparently he's dropped the F word. He's just dropped the F word on midday.
On Kerry Ann. That's no good. Did he mean to say it, or was he kind of talking under his breath, David Helfgott style? I mean, what was he doing? Did he just come out and drop the magic?
But I don't think. I mean, I don't like shows like that that feel that bad language is required to entertain people.
Yeah.
That's not called for at all.
No, it's not smart.
No,
it's not clever.
And it's not impressing anybody. Mm. Now, listen to this. So we just got time for this fantastic story I've been sent by Cecilia Jordan, one of our Perth listeners. And I don't know how we missed this. This was in the West Australian a couple of weeks ago from Wellington, New Zealand. The story of the man who became violently ill after eating varnished croissants sold at a service station. Sales manager Chris Bartlett got sick after buying and eating two croissants from a BP service station in Wellington last December. It was later discovered the croissants, which came from a cabinet of display food, were not meant to be eaten and had been covered in varnish and glue. He was later seen licking the giant paddle pop out the front. I'm not getting anything off this bastard!
Yeah, well, if you go to the BP, you should realise you should never eat your croissant until it's had its second coat. You know, I'm just sick of walking into my pastry cabinet and seeing the wet paint signs up, aren't you? Oh, it's horrible.
It was. It says here that BP have made a confidential out-of-court settlement with Mr. Bartlett. Yeah, they handed him a large laminated cheque with the phrase sample only written on it. He was quite happy with that. Oh, that kept him in food for 3 days.
I've seen him in there polishing up the old ones.
You get a bit of a shine going. They look like new. Those croissants.
All right. Well, let's move on, shall we? Because in the next hour, I haven't mentioned what's coming up. Obviously, the commissioners are going to be combing over for the final time. Jim Rose is going to be joining us from his very own new Jim Rose Circus. And coming up very soon, Radio Gladiators.
This is Martin Malloy. Brought to you.
It's Martin Malloy. And for one final time this week, thanks to Coca-Cola. Pete, say them words.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, the new Jim Rose Circus are touring Australia. I think they're in Melbourne at the moment. They're probably coming to an empty paddock near you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jim Rose is known for his own extraordinary abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But the people he gets to follow him around the world, we all know about the amazing Mr. Lifto. We all know about the Armenian rubber man.
Oh, yeah.
Who can, if you've seen him in action, he actually pulls his body through a tennis racket, takes the strings out first. I think that's cheating a bit myself.
Indeed.
But he gets right the way through that. Mind you, I could do that till I was about 25. I could do it with a backpack on. But that's amazing. And Jim will swallow a light bulb or a razor blade at the drop of a hat.
Mm.
And we've got Jim coming in the next hour. So what I thought we'd do is let's assemble our own little freak circus.
Oh, yes, please.
Our own little gallery of freaks. Because that might impress Jim.
Okay.
Let's get our gladiators involved. And we're not looking necessarily for freakish behaviour. We're just looking for unique stuff that you can do. What can you do that nobody else can do? Are we actually accepting the people are we accepting the freaks themselves, or are we looking for stories about other people?
Oh, you know, if it's something you can personally pull off on cue, feel free to ring up and nominate yourself. But yeah, if you know of someone with an extraordinary skill.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of people I went to school with, because everyone went to school with somebody with a unique skill.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to bring up the name Mono again. He's getting sick of me talking about him on air.
He's going to come for you.
The boy with one testicle. I don't know whether that's a circus act.
That's the title of the movie of his life. The boy with one testicle.
And he'll be played by Noah Taylor as a kid and Jeffrey Rush older.
Oh, I look forward to the trampolining scene.
We've seen a lot of work, you know, over the years on the David Letterman show. He'll do his stupid human tricks, and I remember being sickened and revolted one night by the man who could stop an electric fan with his tongue. And I'm not talking about I'm talking like a plane propeller-sized electric fan.
Well, those big bastards you find on the back of a ship.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to assemble our own gallery of freaks, or as Ron Casey might call them.
Bow-leggers, slant-eyed, slope-headed, rotten little bastards.
Insane.
Mm-hmm.
The man's insane.
Yep.
Keep it in mind. Now, what are we looking... Mickey, have you got any skills? Oh, I don't want to bring up the name Cameron Daddo, but we all know you went to school with Cameron Daddo, and you did tell us an extraordinary, but I'm assured true story about his freakish abilities in the schoolyard.
He could, well, what's the word?
Peel one off?
Peel one off on cue, and in rapid succession, in a semi-automatic style. He could ping them around the room with gay abandon, T. Martin. He got about 120 to the minute, depending on what gear he was in. I'm telling you, he could. That was true.
Right.
And that, to me, would be a great opener for the Jim Rose. There's a guy with a huge national profile.
We went to school with a real big bloke called Ollie McCabe, which is as good a name for a big bloke as you're ever going to think
sure.
of. And Ollie would actually stand, he'd take his shirt off at lunchtime. That was enough, usually. Then he'd stand on his head, and you'd be amazed as his stomach would just slowly sink down and engulf his head. That was an extraordinary skill.
While he was playing the tuba. Ollie, sounds like a guy who'd play a tuba. If he was in the school band, tell me, he'd be on the tuba, wouldn't he?
He'd be on the tuba. He'd be accompanied by tuba music wherever he go.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Well, there's one thing I do. It's a bit of a party trick called Coin Up the Kyber. It's very entertaining to all. Just a 20-cent piece, wedge between the butt cheeks, glass on the ground, waddle over the top and just drop it. It's great. I used to give change to people at my service station in exactly that fashion.
You were sacked from the bank, if I remember.
I know it sounds foolish, but I have it on good authority. It's going to be a demonstration sport at the year 2000 Olympics. So laugh now, people!
I can't think of any unique skill that I know that... I mean, this isn't really a skill, but I've talked about this before. I've got my own language. Well, it's not my own language. I call it Montalban. It's alternative pronunciations for existing English language words. Mm-hmm. Ice cream becomes ikekriam. Ikekriam.
Uh-huh.
Chocolate ice cream, kohokolate ikekriam.
You know, Jim Rose is sacking that Armenian rubber man as we speak.
Sandwiches, sanidawake. Philippines, pahilapines. You can do it with any word.
I'm sure you can.
And the ladies love the Montalban.
Do they? They love it when you go all Montalban.
Challenge, kahalanija. You can do it with any word.
Mm-hmm.
Kahitchen. Or kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Kahit kahen.
All righty then. You've gone mad.
I think it's time for the prize music, Gracie. Yes, indeed. If you're unique, if you're a freak, you'll win tickets for you and a friend to see The Castle, a fantastic new Australian comedy. And we're throwing in a Philips VCR with a remote control locator. Have we explained this properly? You lose the remote, you go to the VCR, you press a button, and some kind of piercing sound tells you... Isn't that a brilliant invention?
I don't know if I'm into a tone. Remember the good old days where you just sat in your lounge chair with a pool cue, poking away at the telly.
What was wrong with that? Call us up. Tell us why you're unique. What is that skill you possess? 1-800-657-657. Puncture. Step from Whitney Houston, it's Martin Malloy, it's Radio Gladiators, and because Jim Rose is coming in the next hour, we're trying to assemble our own little freak circus. Why not end the week with freaks, we say. Who have we got on the line, Mickey?
Let's try Jared. Are you there, Jared?
Yeah.
That's the way. What do you got for us in the way of a freak show style skill?
Well, I'm a bit of a freak. I can pick up tennis balls between my first two toes. I can also pick up other objects too.
Yeah, how big can you get?
Oh, tennis balls are fairly large.
Yeah, that's pretty large.
I can pick up glasses.
Didn't I see you ball-balling at Wimbledon this year?
That'd be fantastic.
That's
just coming out with your hands tied behind your back, picking them up with the feet.
Just handing them to Mark Philippoussis. Here you go, chumbly bum.
Just, you know, blowing bubbles at the same time for a bit of extra visual interest.
I like it a lot.
And, Jared, do you impress the ladies with this skill?
Oh, well, normally you have to whip the shoes off, but if they can stand my foot odour, normally.
Well, it's pretty good, but is it a circus act, Mick?
I don't know. If he's thrown a perfect strike at a 10-pin bowling alley with a foot, I'd suggest it is.
See how many he can catch when you point one of them tennis ball machines at him. I don't know. There's an act in it somewhere. Let's move on to Carolyn. Are you there? Carolyn. Are you with us, Carolyn? She's the invisible lady.
Certainly freakish.
Wow.
14, Gracie, is that where we are?
And what was Carolyn's skill, do we know?
Yes, I took that call. I believe she told me she could roll a 20-cent coin end-to-end from, like, her chin right down her stomach using a kind of belly-dancing technique.
Wow.
I believe she learnt from Mel Colston.
Now...
I can't be sure.
He lets a coin go down and it picks up frequent flyer points as it makes its way down his body.
That's how he wanted to be paid. That's what he wanted the rise in. 20-cent pieces so he could roll them down the tum-tum.
Imagine if there was a bank where that's how you got all your change. That'd get people going down the bank with a smile on their face again, wouldn't it?
There's your handy bank right there.
Carolyn's pulled out when she said Jarrah's in the tennis balls.
She's gone, I've been trumped.
All right, let's move on to Max. Max, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What can you do, Max?
Well, I've got a mouth bigger than probably Roland Gift in The Fine Young Cannibals.
Right, that's and, quite a claim.
Yeah, and I can put my fist inside my mouth and wiggle my ears at the same time.
Oh, yes, please.
But, to top that off, in a crowded train, I can also make everybody move away from me without saying anything.
Yes.
That's a big club.
And then they're looking to insert the fist themselves.
can you do it for us now? I know it's not very, it's a kind of not very visual medium, this, but just whop your fist in your mouth and give us a few choice words, would you, Max?
Yep, sure, hold on.
Okay. Hello to our London listeners.
No, I saw Ron Casey do this today midday with his foot.
Mick.
How are you, Max?
Gee, I reckon there's room for another fist in there. Okay, Max, that's certainly impressive, but I think Richard possesses a unique skill. Are you there, Richard?
Yeah, g'day, guys.
What can you do?
Well, what I could do is flip my eyelids up.
No, not inside out.
Yeah, inside out. And then, on top of that, I used to get my nostrils, each side of my nostrils, and flip them inside out.
Oh, geez.
You're not a member of the Jackson family, are you?
Nah.
As I said to Jarrah earlier, do you use it to impress the ladies?
Well, I did at school, but most of them ran away throwing up.
Oh, look, we had people at our school who did that, and it was always followed by vomiting.
Yeah.
Nostrils in.
I've never seen the nostrils. How did you learn that kind of skill, Richard?
Well, I actually dislocated my nose. And from there, I don't know, I just had the inclination and just grabbed each nostril and went straight up.
Well, we won't ask you for a demonstration today. Thanks, Richard. Joe, are you there, Joe? Are you with us, Joe? Joe?
Yes?
Oh, hello. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Brighton, actually.
Okay. In Melbourne, Brighton?
Yes, it is. In Melbourne.
And what are you doing to scare your neighbours?
Oh, well, okay. I can write mirror image with my left hand, and so normal with my right hand, mirror image with my left hand at the same time.
Yes, okay.
Quite legibly.
Right.
The other wonderful skill I possess is the ability to breathe with one lung and then the other alternately.
Wow. How do you know that you can sort of just feel you're doing that, can you?
You can, and other people can as well. If they're holding on, they can feel it.
So
you've got to, like, clasp both hands around the chest and you can get the idea.
Right, okay. Right. So this is a way that you meet people of the opposite sex as well.
Well, it's a pretty good starting point. Hey, I used to have a collapsed lung and guess what I can do now?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Check me lungs.
Pretty good. And then I could write it out for you.
I think you could write out the evidence.
The whole experience.
All right, well, that's impressive. Mirror image writing.
Was Joe, it's a one-stop freak shop, isn't it? She's got everything covered.
And I think, finally, Paul is going to impress us. Paul, what skill do you possess?
Ambidextrous eyelids, tennis balls. Jeez, fellas, that's all amateur stuff.
Really? What are you sitting on?
I play the violin.
Okay, you play the violin, but...
The way I play the violin, fellas, is just basically put the condom through your nose, out through your mouth, and it makes it sound like a violin. And I tell you the truth, I kid you not.
And I just wonder, are you about to demonstrate this skill?
I'm all out.
Well, if it's not in, it's not in.
Now, fellas, I tell you what.
I'm taking it that's a good thing, Paul, that you're out.
I think it is sitting in the traffic. It's a bit hard. Someone looking over. So he's listening to today, isn't this, mate?
I don't know if the Pope approves that method of violin playing.
I went and saw the MSO this week, Tone. They've got a whole section. A whole violin section. They're all sitting there plucking their condoms.
The Ansel Orchestra. Okay, and Paul, you know, how did this come about? I mean, when did you make the plunge? When did you say, that's a top idea?
Puberty?
Oh, okay, right.
I was at a party once, the bloke said, oh, look, yeah, party tricks, everyone's doing their party tricks, you know, the ambidextrous eyelids and all the rest of it, and sort of, you know, dirty brown eyes, all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, they said, oh, a friend of mine could do it as well, and I thought, oh, that's easy, let's have a go, and it just turned out, and it worked. Ever since at parties, if I get a tad tanked, I'll have a go, and people sort of run from the room, a couple of laughs, a couple of kick me out, whatever.
Well, is that our winner?
I think it's as good as it is!
Yes!
We apologise to all previous freaks, but Paul is our winner. Congratulations, or as I might say, congratulationis. You've won two tickets to see the castle and the Philips VCR with the remote control locator.
Beautiful.
That's coming your way, and thanks for taking part, everybody.
Yeah.
And next in the next hour, well, this is all going to sound like small potatoes to our next guest, Jim Rose.
This is Martin Malloy.
Boys, I'm going to have to ask that you redo these reports. I want you to research and plunge deeply into the subject matter this time, okay?
Brought to you by Coca-Cola.
This hour, Pete Smith will be combing over as we put the commissions to bed once and for all. We'll unveil our latest Martin Malloy emergency service, and next up, Master Showman Jim Rose is with us, all thanks to Coca-Cola. Of course, Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy, and well, as promised, it's the second hour, and our guest is here. This bloke, he's a grand showman in the tradition of P.T. Barnum and Harry Houdini. He travels the world with his gallery of human freaks who have been seen on both The Simpsons and The X-Files. His new Jim Rose Circus is currently touring Australia, so let's meet the ringmaster himself, the often astonishing Jim Rose. Jim, thanks for dropping by today.
Mick, Tony, I'm glad to be here.
Wakey, wakey. How long have you been in Australia?
A week. I flew into Sydney. I stayed just off of King's Cross.
Yeah.
Walked out there and saw all the wonderful activity going up and down the strip.
Are you fishing for acts, even, you know, off duty, even when you're just walking up the street in the Cross? Are you looking around for potential?
No, I tend to let them come up to me so that I don't have to be as diplomatic about it. I mean, because basically this year, Mick, Tony, I'm looking for full-figured women. And it's difficult to go up to one on the street and say, hi, would you like to take on my North American women's sumo wrestling champion?
it's not an easy one to broach, is it?
No. You know, I got one young lady that's 36, 24, 36.
Wow.
And that's just one leg. You're going to feel the earth shake.
That's
over 800 pounds of human female flesh collide. I got Judy the Bull Moose Jenkins, Katie the Pile Driver Wilson.
Yeah. Tell me, do you have just people coming up and just doing weird stuff to you?
Yeah, they come up that way. You know, a lot of it's conceptual, though. You know, like, for example, this year I've got Mexican transvestite wrestling. It's a cat fight with men. We got some really good fights going on, by the way. I started off with 17 of them, and then they, you know, I can't tell if they're, what kind of language do you use on this station? Is this one of those guarded situations?
You can give it a crack.
You'll bleep me, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I can't tell if they're f***ing or fighting. You know, they're falling in and out of love. I've got Billy Martinez, the Barrio Bottom.
What's he up to?
He's probably a favorite because the he-she studied Filipino slap fighting. And we've got...
There's far too much going on in this interview, Jim. We're going to have to just whoa down a second. Let's go back to the Mexican transvestite wrestling. I understand this has not been that well received in certain states in America. Have you run into any controversy with this kind of act?
I was thrown in jail in Lubbock, Texas. They said it was simulating a sex act, but before we turn this into sensationalism,
yes.
Do remember the key part of this is Lubbock, Texas. It's the buckle on the Bible belt. They were so backwards, the best compliment I could give my arresting officer was, nice tooth. This year's show is more like John Waters meets P.T. Barnum. And
you're not losing your edge, are you, Jim? You're not mellowing with age.
Actually, you know, I was I injured my back in January of 96, and I didn't tour all of 96 because I was attempting on a motorcycle to jump 27 dead cows at a meatpacking plant in Belgium.
Right.
I cleared the cows, but the... I just didn't land right.
What is the record for dead cows these days, Jim? Who holds that?
I don't know. I think me, because I was just trying to be an eviler Knievel, and I thought the photo, you know, would look really cool.
Now, what sort of standard do you look for when you're assembling one of your circuses, Jim? I mean, is there something that even shocks you or you wouldn't have in your show? Have you ever seen an act where you went, that's sorry, too depraved?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know a guy that was willing to cut off a finger.
Hmm.
You know, you can only do that five times. Then yeah. then you need help.
Yeah. And then you're cancelling the matinees, really. Yeah.
The show must end Friday.
No, actually, I'm glad you asked that, Tony, because I draw the line on blood and mutilation. You know, that's not in this show. If you're doing a success, I put my face in broken glass and let audience members stomp on the back of my head. Unscathed. If I came out bloody, I would just be like you.
What about Michael Jackson? Would you take him on? Would you take any member of the Jackson family into your freak circus, or do you draw the line at that point? You say, no, too much.
Well, I think you could sell tickets to Michael's splotchy penis.
Is that in the, I'm just going to go through the comedy festival program because I want to know that's not in there. Splotchy, no, nothing. Jim, we want to go back into the early days. We want to get back to your roots. Will you stick around and do that with us?
All right, mate.
Savage Garden, I want you here at
Martin Molloy.
And Jim Rose from the new Jim Rose Circus is with us. He's at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival promising thrills, spills and doctor's bills. What was your first circus? Tell us, what was the first lineup when you first opened the door and said, come in, check out the Jim Rose Circus? Who was on the bill?
Me.
Just you?
Me and two belly dancers at a Middle Eastern restaurant called the Alibaba in Seattle.
Right.
So then Bibi the Circus Queen was there. She was part of it. She puts a grinder. She's got some metal harness between her legs, and she hits it with a grinder, creating fire in the hole!
And tell us about some of your more well-known performers, the amazing Mr. Lifto.
First person to join the Jim Rose Circus after Bibi the Circus Queen. Unconventional weightlifter. For the listeners unfamiliar, he's the one that got the Jim Rose Circus kicked off of television in Australia there for about a year when he attempted to lift incredible amounts of weight with his... What do you guys call it here on the station?
Penis will do.
Penis.
I think that's a pretty safe, all-encompassing term.
Yeah. Well, you can use Italia. It's either penis or federal treasury. You take your choice. Whatever you want.
Well, I got to tell you, that thing's gotten so big it gets its own lunch money.
Now, of course, the Enigma. A lot of our listeners would be familiar from his work, and indeed your own, on The X-Files, one of the finest ever episodes of The X-Files.
Great. You saw it, Tony?
Oh, we saw that. What must have been a compliment, I think, to yourself and your circus was that there was very little enhancement required for the performers who were in that episode of The X-Files. I mean, you're going in against the liposuction vampire bloke, the liver-eating stretchy arm bloke.
Yeah, yeah.
And then basically they've just, that must have been a quiet day for the special effects team the day your guys arrived.
That's true. You know, I want to mention something about the Enigma that wasn't, for the listeners that aren't familiar, he's the guy that's tattooed, shaven head to toe, face included as a jigsaw puzzle. He's four photos to the left on the evolutionary chart.
And he's a work in progress, isn't he? I mean, is he continuing?
Yeah, completely tattooed, shaven head to toe. He's also had coral grafted to his skull. Bone to grow, so he has horns growing out of his head as we speak.
Is that true?
He'll be sleeping on his back for the rest of his life.
He's got barnacles. That's what you're telling us.
Yeah, pretty well. No, because you see, I guess it would be barnacles for the first month or two, but it becomes actual bone because it stimulates the bone to go around it. That's how that works. They use it in bone surgery. It's awesome. Wow. And you know, during the human petting zoo, which is part of our show this year, you can come up, touch the horns, pet him.
Well, that's a fantastic offer. Jim, obviously your circus is always evolving. Do you have a dream? What do you see as the ultimate Jim Rose circus?
I always wanted women's sumo wrestling, and it really showed up this year. You know, I had a year off to think about all my dreams. And
you've lived to see them realized.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know what I'll think about next time, but right now I'm just... This is my proudest circus. I mean, for example, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival... they tell me that it's the biggest production ever brought, you know, in the 11-year history. We've got 37 performers, so I'm really proud of of the type of show that we're actually able to bring. It's so diversified now.
And Jim, we have to ask, we mentioned this kind of at the top, but are you open to offers? I mean, there's no real Australian component at this stage to the Jim Rose Circus, is there?
Looking for full-figured women to, with some athleticism. We'll give you a full day's training. We want you to go up against my North American champion, women's sumo wrestlers. If you win, there will be cash prizes and an offer to go around the world with us and take on other countries' full-figured athletes.
Well, it's a chance for people to realize their dream of finally, you can run away and join the circus.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Jim, all the best of luck, and no more jumping dead cows.
I'm not going to do that.
Jones going to be a big star, Counting Crows. Not a big star with the Jim Rose Circus, I'm guessing.
No.
Ooh, there's a tough screening procedure. If you want to see the Jim Rose Circus in action there in Melbourne at that International Comedy Festival at the moment, and then Sydney listeners, they're going to be at the Harbourside Brasserie April 23 through 27, and then the tour really gets going. Canberra, 29th of April, Macquarie University, the 30th of April, and then throughout May, Gosford. Attention, Gosford listeners. We've heard of a few freakish stories just this week from Gosford. That's on the 1st of May, and then so it goes, Newcastle, St George, Narrabeen, Bankstown, etc.
That'd be a fun touring bus, wouldn't it? That'd be chock-a-block with freaks.
On the road with Mr. Lifto. There's a title for your autobiography. And just while I'm mentioning that Melbourne International Comedy Festival, if you're looking at the program from that and you're just not sure what to go and see, I'm recommending Franklin Ajay.
Oh, indeed. Seconded.
And he's been out here many times before, always turns on a good show. But listen to this. He's on at the Trades Hall in Carlton. You might not know where that is because it's not traditionally there. So find out and go and see Franklin. Get out and support him. Now, I think we're forgetting something.
Mm-hmm.
What normally happens at this point?
Oh, I think you know.
Something, somebody says something. It's Oh!
It's time to front up to the commissions. It's a crazy old world out there, and it takes a pair of pretty tough nuts to walk the mean streets where crime, lawlessness, and their old cronies, evil and depravity, are ready to jump out from the shadows and cold cock you with... Well, with a cold cock, I'm guessing. Only two men have the courage and the comb-overs to dish out the legal challenges and make you the prime target for a fabulous prize. That's right, Mick and Tony are the commissions. Every day, you could cop a Commonwealth Bank Award Saver account containing $500 cash. Plus, go into the weekly draw for a trip for two to Monaco, where you'll be attending the 1997 World Music Awards and the post-awards dinner party, where you can hobnob with the Monaco royal family. It's all thanks to the Commonwealth Bank's new Award Saver account. Okay, lads, for the final time, comb over. In fact, it looks like fun. Mind if I join you?
Oh, okay, let him out of the booth, Gracie.
Come on,
Pete. There he goes.
Boys, thank you very much. Hey,
it's about time. It's a mean booth in there.
Are you prepared to comb over, though, Pete?
You betcha, baby.
All right, good on you. And
coming clean.
We've uncovered a lot of stupid crime over the last 3 weeks. Have you ever been a victim of stupid crime, Pete?
I certainly have. I remember the night I gave up jogging.
I remember too.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
A 7K jog from my father's house. The relatives, my wife, everybody warned me, don't do it. You know, it's in the dark. Don't go 7 kilometres. Don't do it. I did it, and I got through. I was very happy. A lot of dark streets, and then came up into the main street. It's all lit up. 5 doors from my house, I copped an egg right square fat in the face.
Well done, Mickey.
You got to lay in wait, Tony.
I shouldn't have given him my address.
You got to work out when they're on their own. Watch them for a while. Stake out the joint.
We had Pete booked in for a voiceover session, and a very shaky-sounding, yolk-drenched Pete Smith called us up and said, I'm going to be a bit late. My car was severely egged last week and could be responsible. You know, any segment could have really been responsible for that.
My toast was egged the other day. Oh, it was disgraceful.
Here's a bit of stupid crime. Check this out. This is from Melbourne, I think. A bloke went into a McDonald's with his own counterfeit money that he'd made himself at home. And, you know, the money wasn't the problem. It was the fact he'd gone into a McDonald's in Doncaster disguised with a fake moustache, baseball cap and dark glasses. said the magistrate, why would you go along to a McDonald's dressed like something out of a Mickey Mouse picture? Yeah, right, there's a Hamburglar standing behind the counter. You look ridiculous.
That's who we should have gone as.
I should have given him a hamburger past the hour-by date.
He's passing over fake money and they're passing over fake hamburgers.
It's a racket going on down there. It's not one of those varnished croissants we were hearing about earlier. Now, Pete, do you have much dealings with officers of the law off-duty? I know that's a bit of an unusual question to throw at somebody.
I really don't, no.
No, you don't hang in those trouserless police circles we've been hearing about at that Police Royal Commission in New South Wales?
No, I don't do any of that. The last brush I had with the law was when I was trying to get a guy parked right outside my front door to move. He'd been there 6 months. And they were very cooperative, actually.
Yeah. And was he singing My Little Angel? I'm sorry. Okay. Now, I think today, because we did this one early on the commissions, we had a lot of calls. Mm. We want to hear about unusual behaviour you've seen the police indulging in off-duty or even on-duty. They can be in uniform. Nothing to, you know, we don't want to get into any big trouble here.
Yeah, you could break the show wide open with this last one.
You know, we don't want anything that's going to result in the cops knocking at the glass before the end of the segment. Last time we did this, we uncovered cops on the snog. During a stakeout, we had cops doing the Macarena at an underage disco.
Yep.
What have you found there, Mickey?
Well, there's a story in one of today's Sydney papers, Tone, of a policeman has been ordered to pay $2,759 for a chicken sandwich he ate after taking it from a car damaged in an accident. Calling all cars, calling all cars. He knew that chicken sandwich was there.
Bring the jaws alive! It's still fresh.
Oh, dear. I mean, if the guy had stacked his car into a donut van, maybe he would have got to keep his chicken sandwich. But sorry, they've come from everywhere.
All right, that's what we're looking for, just little quirky bits of odd behaviour you've seen the police getting up to. We're going to have our own mini Royal Commission today. And, of course, we've got that $500 courtesy of the Commonwealth Bank and their fantastic Award Saver account. And Pete here, as only he can, is going to reach into the Colston and pull out the winner for this week, someone who will be sent to Monaco to attend the World Music Awards and then the party afterwards where you can just tank on with the Monaco royal family.
Look out.
Have you got your barrel handling gloves on, Pete?
All ready, boys.
Okay, Pete's ready, Mick's ready, we're ready. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Mick, are you combed over?
Oh, yeah.
Pete, combed over?
Hello, hello, hello.
Gracie, you combed over?
Oh, yeah.
And Sansa, you combed over? Mm. All the techs have combed over, especially Mick.
It's a nice effort.
They've combed over upstairs and down, because it's the final commissions here at Martin Molloy, and today we're conducting a mini Police Royal Commission. We're looking for evidence of police corruption on a very small scale. Nothing that's going to lead to actual, well, to a proper Royal Commission, I think that's what we're saying.
Or hurt kidneys for you or moi.
Exactly. So who have we got on the line?
Let's try Elliot. How are you, bud?
How you going?
Not too bad. What you got for us in the way of a slightly shonky, copy-like behaviour?
I decided to try an airship up here in Brisbane, and it was like the second day and seen a police officer. He was off work, but got busted for shoplifting.
Wow, did he get busted by himself?
No, actually, one guy seen him in there, and he's kind of got the security, and they've come and got him, and everyone found out then he was a police officer.
Gee, and what had he taken?
It's a book.
A book? What book was it?
I don't know, mate.
That's a billion to one chance, isn't it?
One of those Chopper Reed books.
The most shoplifted book in Australian history, I'll have you know.
That's true. All right, shoplifting. You don't go shoplifting off duty, do you, Pete? Imagine that, Mr. Copperart.
I've seen him rifling through the gift shop on Sale of the Century when he thinks no one's looking. You just see him in the back of the screen walking past with a couple of...
Your eyes are too good, Timo.
A couple of pewter goblets shoved down the front of his shirt. All seen it.
Okay, let's see if we can go better than that. Jason, are you there, Jason?
Yeah, mate, I'm here. How you doing, boys?
Not bad. Have you spotted something shocky?
Yeah, mate. Oh, mate, it was real laugh. I'm heading to work the other morning.
Yep.
And the freeway had been blocked off. There must have been some sort of accident.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of patrol cars there blocking the freeway.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of coppers on the other side of the patrol cars with a set of golf clubs chipping the golf balls from one side of the highway to the other.
That's important work.
Did they have the official police tape up? Do not cross.
I was going to get out there and get their scorecards from them.
And were they in uniform?
Yeah, mate, they were, yeah.
Or did they have the silly pants on downstairs?
Oh, they had those knickerbockers on with the golf clubs and everything, mate.
Very nice. Wow. Gee, I know, obviously, the arresting officers for O.J. Simpson would have been doing a bit of that, getting inside the mine.
Oh, yeah.
But, gee, I don't know, golfing police officers. Do you go golfing, Pete, at all?
No, I don't go golfing, but I tell you what, jokes about golf are legion. This is right on top of the pile.
Okay.
For me.
We don't have a golfing humour segment on the show, do we?
We'll have to get around to that.
All right. Thanks, Jace. I think Liz is going next. Liz, you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here.
Where are you calling us from, Liz?
I'm calling from Sydney.
Sydney. And what have you spotted?
About a year ago, I actually spotted a grown-up 40-year-old policeman in full uniform picking flowers from the front yard of a church.
Rose squad.
from a gravestone or something like that?
There was a cemetery at the back of the church, but there was all these beautiful roses at the front, and he was just, you know, quietly cutting them off. And everything on his waist and everything.
Was he putting them into little bags and sending them down to forensic? What?
Making them in a nice little bunch and picking little bits of greenery to go with them as well.
Well, I'm sure it was an essential part of an important investigation. An ongoing investigation. We can't talk about it too much.
All right.
I've heard of creeping into the crypt, but this is a totally different ballgame.
All right. Well, that's certainly shonky behaviour.
It is indeed. I like that one.
Wow, we're tackling the big fish.
Indeed.
Have we got Leslie there? Leslie?
Yes?
What sort of unseemly police behaviour have you witnessed?
Well, it happened to me. I was driving along, and I admit I'd done an illegal U-turn, yeah. And there was a policeman behind me.
Yes.
I spotted him, but I ignored it, and the lights were flashing, and I still ignored them, and I'd done a turn thinking he'd leave me alone. Next, the sirens came on, so right. I pulled over and done the right thing and got out and approached him.
Yes.
And he took my name, address, and said, you know, you realise you've done everything wrong, rah, rah, rah. Mm. And 11 o'clock that night, I had a knock on the door, and guess who it was? Mr. Policeman. He knew I was single. And a year and a half later, we got married.
Oh, you got married! You'd do anything to get out of a court case.
But 3 years later, we got divorced.
Oh no! Oh, charges still pending.
Did he ask you to buy tickets for the policeman's ball?
No.
And so, obviously...
That was shonky, because I could have been booked, but I didn't.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't book you. He just bedded you for a number of years.
Yeah, exactly.
And did he, obviously, when you got divorced, did he reopen the case?
No, too late.
So he married you. Well, that was what he was doing down the church, getting the flowers.
He was stealing the flowers for me.
My dear, you have been booked.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's pretty good. Is that our winner? It's an interesting story. But obviously, Pete, you're going to have to choose. We've got the shoplifting cop, we've got the golfing coppers, we've got the flower thieves, and the marriage bizarre.
It's a very emotional segment today, boys. But I'm going for the golf ball chipping copper.
It certainly does paint an interesting image. You there, Jace?
Yeah, how you going, boys? Alright.
You've got yourself $500.
Alright.
And that'll be coming to you in a brown paper bag. No, it won't. It's in the awards saver account, courtesy of the Commonwealth Bank.
Oh, magic.
And you could be going to Monaco with a friend. Just hang on the line there, because your name's going into the barrel. Mm-hmm. The massive Martin Malloy Senate-sized barrel. Pete Smith is reaching in. This is completely bona fide, as it has to be. And who is the winner, Pete?
The winner on this final day is Tanya Collinson of Gosford.
Of Gosford! Oh, and I think she called us yesterday, wasn't it?
Yep.
The man who was arrested 4 times at Gosford. Oh, sorry, it wasn't you, Jace, but Tanya? Okay, right. We'll send him some golf clubs. Some golf pants. Maybe that'll do the trick. And obviously, Tanya, listening in Gosford, you're going to be the talk of Gosford. You're off to the sister city, Monaco, to hang out with the royal family. And all thanks, of course, to the Commonwealth Bank. And Pete Smith, thanks for coming in today.
It's a pleasure, boys.
And we'll have something rude for you to say at about this time on Monday here on Martin Malloy. That's Kim Mazel, Young Hearts Run Free here at Martin Malloy. And, of course, your hosts, Tony Martin and Mick Malloy, or as Ron Casey calls us...
Bow-legged, slant-eyed, slope-headed, rotten little bastards.
He does indeed.
Does he? Times himself while he says it.
It's an interesting development, isn't it? What's going on there?
Oh, dear. We'd like to thank all our new listeners for tuning in for the first time this week, of course, in Mareeba. Still no information about Mount Molloy.
There's not a lot available, mate. We keep it under wraps.
Must be a very spooky old mountain.
If you want to know any more than that, you'll have to apply.
And, of course, what about our listeners in Roma, Emerald, and Gladstone in Queensland, and everyone listening in London for the first time this week? And if this show has been baffling you, if it's been mystifying you, all is explained on our website, Martin Molloy Land. You can visit us, and I think the address goes all the bizzo up the front with the slashes. Mm-hmm. No WWs, mm-hmm. Just go straight to this. Martin Molloy, that's one word, mm-hmm. No slash in the middle, and Molloy, of course, is spelt with an O, mm-hmm. Not an A. Mm-hmm. martinmolloy.village.com.au. Mm-hmm. Whew, always exhausts me, the website address.
Go and have a lie down.
And I think it's time for us to go, but we always like to end the week with, firstly, we'll be explaining our new emergency service, mm-hmm. in just a few moments. But a little tradition we have here on the show, we end the week by packing full the Martin Molloy Comedy Incinerator. All the really piss-weak gags we didn't have room for earlier in the week, we get them out of our system once and for all. Start the clock, Gracie, if you could. Listen to this, Mick. A Paris court has thrown out a libel action filed by Saddam Hussein over a magazine article which described him as a butcher, simpleton, monster, tyrant and dictator. Said Hussein, it was insulting. They left out lunatic, psychopath, nutbag and father of a bloke with no genitalia.
Kit Culkin has given up on attempts to gain custody of his famous son Macaulay Culkin after an American court awarded sole custody of the child star to Macaulay's mother. It is believed she intends to appeal the decision.
O.J. Simpson is scaling down his lavish lifestyle now that most of his property and assets have been seized by the L.A. Sheriff's Department. Said a nonplussed O.J., that's fine, it just means from now on I'll be murdering a poorer class of person.
Tomoyuki Tanaka, creator of hit movie Dinosaur Godzilla, has died at the age of 86. A service to be held in his memory on Thursday will be performed twice, first in Japanese and then in badly overdubbed English.
And finally, more on the Heaven's Gate UFO cult. You think people are getting the idea how the incinerator works?
They're in the swing of it now.
The Heaven's Gate UFO cult, it seems that just hours before topping themselves, all 39 cult members had eaten a meal at the Mari Calendar restaurant in Carlsbad, California. Said the restaurant's chef, okay, so the risotto isn't everything it could be. I still think it was a slight overreaction. Imagine being that chef.
Oh, look out.
That's the worst restaurant review in history, isn't it? You'd lose a star for that. I think it's time for us to thank our guests, Jim Rose, the man in the booth, Pete Smith, all our gladiators and commissioners. As always, a big end of a week salute to our producer, Gracie. Our assistant, Sansia. Making those sketches, the remarkable Vicky Ma.
Vicky!
And all the button pushers right around the network grid.
Yeah, I know who you are.
Next week, we'll be joined by, well, funny buggers. It's all funny buggers week here at Martin Molloy. We've got comedians from all points of the globe. From the US, Rich Hall, Franklin Ajay. Go and see his show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, people. And Stephen Wright will be joining us from the UK. Frank Skinner will be popping in. And our very own Rob Sitch, director of the castle, will be on board. And just before we go, here's that important service I referred to earlier.
So, Dave, what do you think of the new barbecue?
Oh, you've done well, mate.
Don't burn yourself, Darl.
You wouldn't want to end up looking like the English patient.
Oh, yes. Have you people been to see the English patient?
No, not yet. No.
I mean, personally, I think it's a return to classic British cinema. I mean, it's the desert, it's Lawrence of Arabia, it's romance. It's
what people be crying out. Looks like I'm going to have to make a call.
And as for those clowns running the Archibald Prize tone, they've rejected all the submissions so
hello,
far.
Hello, Martin Molloy.
Some absolute beauties.
Please stay calm, madam. Right?
Tell
how
me
bad is it?
Pretty bad. He just mentioned the director by name. Listen.
I mean, Mingela, what he's saying with the desert, it's a metaphor.
Oh,
jeez, you stay there, we're on our way.
David Helfgott's in booties and a nappy.
Mick, come on, it's a 4-1-2.
Well, what about the rest of the Archibald routine?
Gracie, you take over. Come on, let's go.
There you go, Gracie. Right. And remember, really hit the Kerry Ann stuff.
Okay, come on.
Booney is the leather man from the Village People. Bob Carr is Andy Capp. Kellyanne Kennelly as Witchy Poo. What are these people on about? What do they want?
Okay, engines to power,
turbines to speed. Have you checked the payload, Mick?
Loaded and ready.
All right, fire it up.
Here goes.
Come on, Mick, let's go.
Patone, what about your safety demonstration?
I don't have time to slip into the uniform. This is serious. So you see, if we take the quote-unquote patient, the English patient, as...
Oh, God, where are they?
Any sign of it, Mick?
Number 32 Sycamore Crescent. There it is, bank left turn.
How's that?
Perfect.
Release the cargo.
Aye, aye, Captain.
So you see the character played, or I should really say inhabited, by Ralph Fiennes and under the baton of Maestro Minghella is so tortured, so within himself...
Thank you, Martin Malloy.
How's that, Tone?
Spot on, Mick. I knew we'd find a use for those cloned cows.
Martin Malloy cow drops. Accurate to within 1/8 of a centimetre. Remember, it's all part of the service.
Hey, Tone, how do you think Gracie's going?
I mean, the Archibald is just wrong, and what are they doing, and can any of them draw? What's going on?
Gracie, how's it going?
Oh, guys, thank God. Promise you won't do that again.
It's okay, Gracie. It's okay. You're safe now. Have a barley sugar. There. Come on. Hush, little Gracie. Don't you cry.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola.